But God has certainly created for us a beautiful world, hadn't he? I know if you're wondering where my horses are, there Mike's got them in Texas. He already ridden them up twice into the mountains of Colorado. Going to go again later this month. But he sent me back a picture of the horses grazing in a meadow just outside their camp, about 12,000 feet up, and the beauty of the snow-covered mountains and the clear blue sky surely made a beautiful picture. And some of you have seen some awesome things that God has made. You've gotten a chance to visit some beautiful places around the world in your travels, and we've seen them on Facebook. And when you think about it, God sure did a good job, didn't he? When he created this old world of ours. So when we're talking about creation, we think about how that we are created in God's image. And thinking about that, David came up with a very intriguing question here in Psalms 8, verses 3 to 4. He said, whenever I consider the heavens, all the works that you've made, the sun, the moon, and the stars, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? David was like many of us. Haven't you ever felt insignificant? I mean, if David felt that way in his time, by just with the naked eye being able to see the wonders, how much more after we know and have mapped much of our galaxy? And we know that there's so much more, so vast, even beyond that. And in that map, Earth is this little old teeny pin dot in the scheme of things. And on this little tiny dot, there are 3 billion people, and you're just one of them. David said, when I think about the vastness of all that you've made, who am I? Who am I that you should be mindful of me? But then he answers that question. In verses 5 through 8, Psalms 8, 5 through 8, he says, first of all, he says, we're valuable. Man is valuable. Listen to him what he says. Yet you have made him, he's asked the question, what is man? You should care about him. And then he says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and majesty. That's who man is to God. You've made him to rule over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet, all the sheep and the oxen, all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. He said, God has made you valuable. You are somebody to God. Sometimes I think, especially among our young people, they think, well, if I'm not a star running back on the football team, or if I'm not a cheerleader, or if I don't have first chair in the band, I'm a nobody. Who told you that? Who told you you were nobody? God didn't tell you. If you've got the idea that you're a nobody, God didn't tell you. Because God didn't make any nobodies. God made you a somebody. And not only that, God made you a somebody special. So if God tells you you're not important, or you've got this idea you're not important, it's not because God told you that. Oh, I know who told you. I know who told you. The devil told you that. And the reason why he told you that was so that he could say, well, come on with me and I'll make you a somebody. I remember him telling somebody that. You do too. We call him the prodigal son. He said, listen, you're a nobody. What are you doing standing around here at the house? Come on with me, I'll make you a somebody. And he took him off into the far country. How did that work out? Well, he found himself eventually in a hog pen. That's exactly how it worked out. Because the devil's promises are empty and vain and meaningless. He don't want to make you a somebody. He wants you to wind up in a hog pen somewhere. And that's exactly what he's got in mind. But not God. David said, who is man that you care about him? And God said, he's valuable. I made him valuable. Not only that, but he said, he's made of flesh and blood because I formed him myself. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we read how that then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. He took those big hands and scooped up a handful of dust, and he created a skeleton and muscles and a digestive system and an internal organs, and then he wrapped it all in the largest organ that man has, and that's his skin. When you think about all of the intricacies of our body, how our heart works, how our brain works, how it all works together. Can you not see a master builder? Does that not bespeak of something greater than ourselves? And that someone is God. He's the one that formed you and made you. But then it goes on to tell us that we're more than just flesh and blood. When you think about what man is a spirit. It says that that God breathed into man's nostrils here in Genesis 2 and verse 7. The breath of life. Now that was more than just organs. That was more than just breath of physical life. What God breathed into us was His Spirit. That's what gives us the spiritual life. Now, animals are different from us. The animals have the breath of life. They're alive. We got this little dog, Sassy, and she's the sweetest little old dog. But she's an animal. She does not have the Spirit of God in her. When I look at all our little sweet babies around here, and they are sweet little old things, you see it. You see it in their little eyes. You see it in their little heart. The Spirit of God. And so, yes, we're flesh and blood, but we are also spirit. God gives us that thing that only God possesses, or until He made us, and that was eternality. We are forever. Now, let me talk to you just a minute about this Spirit of God. We have it because God gives it to us when we're born. But now what we do with that becomes a decision later in our life. Paul talks about how we can quench the Spirit. How we can put it out like we'd put out a fire. How we can throw water on it. We quench a fire. We can quench the Spirit. We can wound the Spirit. We can replace the Spirit of God in our life with the spirit of this world. And therefore, we take away that hope of that Spirit returning back to God who gave it to us. Because you remember I told you, it never ceases to exist. Will always exist from the time that God gives us that Spirit. We are not only flesh and blood, we are spirit, but look at what He goes on to tell us. That He says in Genesis 2 and 7, He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So He is flesh and blood, He is Spirit of God, and He is a soul. And Jesus says concerning that if we were to gain the whole world, but lose that soul, it profits us an absolute naked nothing. Because we lose that chance to go back to God. Oh, how wonderfully made, David said, how wonderfully made we are. And so, we then are created for a relationship with God. Why did God give us these spirits, His Spirit? Why did God make us a living soul? One day, a mother asked the preacher, She said, if God knew that this world was going to be such a sinful world, why did he make us? And the preacher looked down at the little nappy-headed boy playing at her feet, and he said, if you knew that you would bring a child into a world where it would suffer some hardships, some pain, where it would get sick sometime, where it would hurt, would you bring him into the world? And she said, well, yes, of course. And he said, why? And she said, because we love him. There's your answer. Why did God create us? Why did he put us in a world that he knew was going to be challenging, tempting, where there would be struggles and heartaches and pains and sorrows and thorns and thistles? Why did he do it? Well, the answer without question is that God loved us. He loves us with a love that is unmatched. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The only answer is love. So that brings us to the purpose that we have here. What is our purpose? Well, our purpose is to make money and make a living for our family. That's not our purpose. That might be our job as a father or a mother. But our purpose for being here is to love God back. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. That, people, that's our purpose. That's why we're here. And if we fail in that, then no matter what we've accomplished, no matter how successful we are in the eyes of man, we are a failure because we will have lost the greatest possession that we'll ever, ever have. And that's our soul. So, here we are, these human beings, this flesh, this blood, this spirit, this soul. And so we ask ourselves, what happens now? And the answer to that comes in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. Paul writes there and says, therefore we do not lose heart. For even though this outward man is perishing, this outward man is wearing out. And you know what? It's not long. We're not here for a long time. Well, I can tell you that it wears out. The further I get down that road of time, the more I feel it. Don't jump near as high. Run near as fast. Don't run at all, really, much. So this outward man is perishing. Well, that's a sad thing, isn't it? If it ends right there, if that's the end of that verse, it leaves us pretty sad, doesn't it? I'm just going to waste away. I'm going to wind up going back to the dust of the ground from whence I came. I'm going to wind up another handful of dust, just like it was whenever God made Adam from the beginning. But that's not the end of that verse. Listen, please. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Because even though our outward man is perishing, our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working in us for a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. Because the things that are seen are just temporary. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. That's it. That's all. That's it right there in a nutshell. So this body of made of the dust of the ground, it will go back to the dust of the ground. But that spirit, that soul that God has given us, has a chance because of the love of God and the sacrifice of His Son. It has a chance to go back home. There's your hope. Son, you can put that in your pocket and you can take it into next week with your head held high. I am the child of a king. My Father owns this world and I've got a chance. I got a chance to go back home. I hope you see how important it is to fulfill the purpose that God has given us. The purpose of loving Him back. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Believing His great truths, repenting of your sins, confessing that He is the Christ, being baptized for the remission of your sins, living for Him. On Sunday? No. Every day you wear His name proudly in whatever you do. And then when this life is over, you stand before the great King, the Creator of all the world. You will hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many things. Enter into the joys of your Lord." If you want to hear that, and I do. Oh, I do. I do. If you want to hear that, get your life right with God. Can we help you while together we stand and sing? Will you come?